Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Eddie DeBarbo. He'd look at me and say, "This is a trap game. This is, we're in trouble." You know, and he would always do that almost before every game. You know, it was just his way. I think he forbade himself to even have a positive thought about how the game was going to turn out, because I think he was afraid of jinxing himself. You know, but the emotions, the pressure, the build up, everything was on the line. You took all your chips and you pushed them to the middle of the table, because you knew if you lost that game, you were broke. You were broke emotionally. You were broke competitively. Your whole year went up in smoke. Nothing mattered but the Super Bowl. And it's a little onerous, but at the same time, I have to tell you, gentlemen, there's nothing more exciting than that.
Is there a little bit of extra skin in the game because it's such a great rivalry with the Green Bay Packers? Or, you know, from an executive standpoint, do you put those things aside and it's just another championship game?
No, I think that, you know, playing a marquee franchise, I think playing against Aaron Rodgers, who everybody knows is one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game and certainly a first-year eligible Hall of Famer, adds some panache to it. I have some ugly memories of the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs, obviously. Lately, now I haven't kept score, but lately I think we've been okay against the Packers.
Yep.
Haven't we? The last three times we played them in the playoffs? Am I counting it right? But we've been okay.
You're right.
As of the late years. But, you know, in my years, I mean, we had some, if you'll remember, we had some setbacks. And so I just always had a problem thinking about the Packers as an opponent. When I say a problem, I mean, you know, they were always kind of dangerous. And but you know, when you look at it on paper, and you look at it from all the experiences of every single regular season game, and now of course each of them had one playoff game, the 49ers shouldn't lose this game. They shouldn't. But, again, going back to my old ways, that's what scares the heck out of me. And, I mean, that's what makes me even more nervous. I, on paper, again, I think they should be bigger than a 7.5-point favorite. I don't know. We'll see, of course. But we're healthy. 49ers are totally healthy now, and you see the difference, especially on defense, when they can field their players as a group. It's quite impressive.
Carmen, is there some friendly family banter going on, given that your son is in the Green Bay front office?
Well, there's banter. I don't know how friendly it is. But, you know, my son, Ed, is the chief operating officer and general counsel for the Packers. So I, as a father who not only loves his son, but I'm very, very proud of Ed. He's so much smarter than me and so much more talented, and he's just a special guy. I'm rooting for him. I have to root for him. You know, I root for anything that advances his situation and his family situation and so forth. But I think he knows that I've got this thing inside of me still kind of leaning over towards the 49ers. It's kind of like, you know, you fall in love with that new girl and you marry her, but you still have this warm feeling for your ex-wife.
Sure.
Carmen, go ahead, man.
And so it's something. So the bottom line is, though, in a sense, I can't lose, because if the gods of football decide that the 49ers should win, I'm going to root for them 1,000% unmitigatingly. But if the Packers win, then I got you know, family credit going, and I'm going to root for them in an unrestrained fashion. So, but it's kind of cute. It actually is kind of cute. And who's going to wear what to the game, and what colors are you allowed to wear, and are we going to sit in a neutral area? You know, that kind of thing. We're having some fun with it.
Great stuff. Former president and CEO of the San Francisco 49ers, Carmen Policy, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mr. Policy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Enjoy the game and your family this weekend, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Thank you, gentlemen, and good luck to you, and thanks for having me on.
It's always our pleasure. Thank you so much, sir. Always love talking to him. Always.
He's the best.
That's a successful family right there. I love it, though. He talks about his son, Ed. He's much smarter than him. That's what you want. You want your children to be better versions of you. We've already seen Little Low just wildly surpass Big Low. Called him this morning, asked him about Odell Beckham. The young people, they'll always twist you up with their thoughts. He had a completely different take on the whole thing. That's why you got to love the big fella.
Yeah, they're definitely different. We're definitely different. I think the older you get, the more subtle you get. I think the younger you live on the edge, and not just that, you're like, okay, I'm young. What's wrong with that? I'm taking the money, and these cats, they look at things differently, you know. And you think, wow, really? That went for a twist in the other way that I didn't think it was going. But you look at it, and you scratch your head, and you move on. You move on.
So what do you think the superstition situation is like for a lot of fans heading into this game? Like, do you have people? I'm curious. They had the early start game last week, and I know it's close in time to this one, but this is the second of the two games. Like, if you're a football fan that isn't attached to any of the four remaining teams, you're getting up and you're watching the first game, and then you're going to be nice and ready to go for the second game. The second game is always the marquee game of the weekend. It's always on championship weekend, the more prominent of the two. The Niners have drawn that spot against the Green Bay Packers. That's what you've got. I got to figure it's going to be a different tailgate scene entirely. Not to knock whatever they had last week and during the regular season, but you got to up your game as a fan. I think the fans know that too. You don't just come casually rolling down the Levi's, casually get your standard, you know, grill fare going. I think they're probably going big this weekend in an NFC championship kind of way.
It just depends on how superstitious you are. Let's just say that you've been going with brisket all season at these Niner tailgates, and they've been winning when you're going with the brisket.
Nice call.
You're not
dude.
All of a sudden going to come with the ribs because the brisket's been working. So
sure.
Just depends on how superstitious you are, because if you get outside of your comfort zone, maybe you try to go a little bit bigger, maybe you switch from white wine and cheese, and now you're going to go beer and brats or whatever your choice is. If they lose, you might have that in the back of your mind, like, man, why did I switch it up? It's my fault that they lost. Now, I'm not one of these superstitious types, but I know a lot of fans are. So whatever your superstition level is, stick with what you've been going with these games, and then that way you won't feel personally responsible.
It's going to be loud.
It's going to be loud.
That's one thing Green Bay better be ready for. The Niners do not lose home playoff games. It's never happened.
Never
happened at Levi Stadium.
Ever?
Levi Stadium has never seen the Niners lose in the playoffs.
That's strong.
That's daunting. That used to be playing at Lambeau in the playoffs when it dips below 32 degrees, right? Remember that famous
Absolutely.
Stat? Michael Vick, of all people, was the guy to go up there and beat them. Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons, the Southern Dome team, went up to Lambeau and ended that streak.
Yeah. I tell you, just listening to Carmen, though, and just this week has been, you know, you look at the text line and kind of just even us, it's been a longer week than usual, seems like. It's just like you can't wait to for the game because it's the only show in town right now. You look at it, it's win this one game. You take care of this business, and the prize is there. You got a chance. This, like you, Dibs, I think you said it best when you said you win this game to give you the right to play in the next one.
Right.
So it's win or go home. And I think it just guys are just methodically saying, okay, let's get to Sunday. Man, Monday's a slow day. You can't wait. You just had a big win. You know, you played on, you know, you played that the day before. You're like, man, I can't wait to get to Monday. Okay, Monday you come in, redo everything. Okay, Tuesday's your off day. You can't wait. Then it's Wednesday. Okay, here we go. We're game planning. And now you finally get to that Friday. When you get to Friday, it starts to speed up a little bit for you because that whole week you're just looking forward to it. Man, these guys, this has been a long season. The injuries, the ups and downs. And now you're friggin' 60 minutes away, 60 minutes away from saying, we're going to Miami. 60 minutes. Guys, now this is that time you just like, okay, leave me alone. You're getting ready to go like LeBron, go dark 30, where it's like, okay, for the, after the day, I'm disconnected. I need to clear my mind. Look, family, everyone, just leave us alone. Let us concentrate on what I need to do.
While we're on LeBron, real quick, missed the game winner against Orlando the other night.
Yeah, but he made the game. He caught him. He hit the three right before that to get him into the, to make the game.
Sure, but missed the game winner. Three. Just want to, you know, if we're going to talk LeBron, I want to make sure we get it all out there.
I saw it happen.
Missed the game winner. And it was Orlando, too. It's not like it was Milwaukee. I just, you know.
That was nice. That was okay.
You try to crop dust me, you're going to get crop dusted right back.
I don't know if I was necessarily crop dusting.
You could have used any athlete in history getting focused for a championship. You could have used Tiger Woods. You could have used a lot of people. You went to LeBron. So I followed up on your LeBron. Missed the game winner the other night against Orlando. Blamed everybody else.
He saw your LeBron and he raised you a LeBron. I'll just say this about what you were talking about, and I think
please
you're right.
Do.
The idea of going to the Super Bowl is such that even if your team goes and loses the Super Bowl, you're more understanding than if they lose in the conference championship game. Because right now you're so close.
I don't know.
This is like when you're in the NCAA tournament and you're in that regional final game. If you win the regional final, you go to the Final Four. Of course, you want to win the national championship, but you're going to the Final Four. That's special. If you lose the conference championship game, you don't get to go to the Super Bowl. If you go to the Super Bowl and lose, you're disappointed, certainly, and you can speak to it better than anyone else. But the fact that you got there, the fact that you get to get there and you get that full week and then you get that second week of preparation. And as a fan, you're going to watch the Super Bowl no matter what. We all do. It's an American tradition. But to have your team in there makes it all the more special. To be this close and to have your team lose the conference championship, to me, that's more disappointing than losing the Super
Bowl. Wild disagreement. The Eagles went to four straight NFC title games, and when they finally broke through and went to the Super Bowl loss was more crushing than any of the championship game losses. Not even close. The Bucs one was the one they should have won. That was their best chance at winning, and when they lost, it's tough. Really tough. Losing to the Rams was understandable because the Rams were the better team, and it was the first time the Eagles were there. So they lose that game. Then you lose to the Bucs in the final game ever at Veterans Stadium. That was a hard blow. Then you figured you'd get the Panthers the next year, and they laid an egg in that game. That was tough. You beat the Falcons. Losing to the Patriots in the Super Bowl was devastating. The Super Bowl loss, way worse. Completely disagree. See why you say it. I completely understand, but I disagree in that situation. Because now you have 2 weeks to get hyped up about 60 minutes to glory. 60 minutes, you'll remember this forever. 60 minutes this, 60 minutes that. If you come up short like the Rams, the second that last second hits, you start thinking about the curse of the Super Bowl loser and how unbelievably difficult it's going to be to get back to that game. And how if just one thing had went differently, you could have won. You were that close to all of it. That close to all of it.
It's interesting one for the callers. 888-957-9570. Because I truly believe that just getting to the Super Bowl, because we always talk about Super Bowl or bust. And when Baltimore was still around low, we were saying, just get to the Super Bowl. And if it's Baltimore, man, I don't like your chances, but at least you will have made the game. If you lose in the conference championship and you don't even get to go to the Super Bowl, that to me is more devastating than losing the Super Bowl. Because only one team's going to win it. We know that. It's a tired old cliche. But at least if you're the runner-up, you made it to that game. And as a player, you made it to a Super Bowl. Even though you didn't win one, you at least made it to one.
What was the most crushing loss of your career?
I think
great question. Yeah. Great question.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a crushing loss. That's the most crushing loss, the Super Bowl. You know, not winning it. But getting there, to get there is just like, okay, get there, you believe anything can happen. You get there, you say, I got a chance. If you don't get there, you don't even necessarily want to watch it, especially when you're a good team and you think that you should be there. You're just like, I can't even watch this or whatever. I think the more crushing loss is a Super Bowl, but getting there, I think you're not as, because there's no next game. That you know this is at the pivot. Win this one.
That's why it's so devastating. It is. Because that's it. There's nothing else.
And is that the worst loss of your career, Super Bowl loss?
It's the worst loss. But I think that if you ask me, would I rather lose in the AFC Championship or lose in the Super Bowl? I'd rather lose in the Super Bowl. Hands down. But it's the most – I agree. So that's why when I'm listening, I'm like, man, because I'm thinking, I'm like, man, my emotions are – Hell yeah, I'd rather be in the Super Bowl and friggin'
Anyone, if given the option of losing between one or the other, is going to take the farthest possible pass. But when it comes to what's more crushing, the Super Bowl is going to destroy you. The AFC Championship, there's a lot of what could have been, but you still have to get there and you still have to win. Your logic is it's sound, I hear it, but it's also predicated on the, you get the 2 weeks of excitement building up and all the positives. That's all positive. Right up until the curtain comes down, and then it's the worst loss ever.
Right, but
the
worst. If you don't get there, then you never will. As a player, I would imagine you never would have had that thrill, that moment of at least saying, "Hey, yeah, I played in the Super Bowl." As opposed to, "Hey, did you ever play in the Super Bowl?" No, we lost, you know, four straight conference championship games. We couldn't get to that point. So
I think the fans too. The fans are more. I don't think they want to win. Of course, they want to win all the games. We know that. But if you said. If you ask the Niners fans, we can ask them because we'll bring them on. But if you ask them, what would you rather have? Of course, they're going to say, would you rather, if you look at this week, they're more forgiving, not forgiving, but they're like, okay, it's the Super Bowl. If you, now, I think this is more of a disappointment and more disappointing if you lose this game than compared to the next one.
Let's go to the phones. We're bringing the billions, Connor and Fresno. Let's go to the no.
About Connor time we go to Fresno. The no. Connor, tell her, baby.
Welcome to the show. What are you thinking?
Good morning, guys. I'm hyped about this week, though. I'm 24, so I was born in 95, and that was the last year the Niners won a championship. And, you know, I got to say, if they make it this year and they don't win, I'm going to be crushed. I'd rather them lose the NFC championship looking forward to next year. You know, maybe one of these teams this week gets the better of them. But I'd rather not go to the Super Bowl again and lose. I don't want to put a lot on, you know, like the Niners, oh, they were 5-for-5, it was all good, and then Kaepernick messed it up. Whatever. You know, I like that stat. I live with a Patriots fan, so it's very hostile household as far as Super Bowl championships go. So if the Niners go, those boys got to give me that win, baby. Bang, bang, Niner game.
Appreciate the phone call. That's from our good friends in the know. We
like
the know.
I like that.
We love it. Huge in the know.
That's tough. A tough household where you're living with a Patriots fan and, you know, your whole run, it's like, yeah, I'm the Niner fan. I've got supremacy. And then Tommy Brady and the Patriots one up you.
Tommy.
I understand what he's saying about they had the perfect record till Kaepernick, and so now that that's gone, I think it's a different story.
Patriot household would be the worst household if you're not a Patriot fan because they look at you and they just mock you and laugh at you. I know a relationship where there's a Patriot fan and then a rival, and the Patriot fan, anytime the two get together and it's like, what do you think of this game? The Patriot fan just rolls their eyes and just they're nothing.
Right.
The nothing. The garbage.
Right. The garbage.
Like your situation. Your situation's interesting. Buffalo, Philly. You're a Philly fan. Your wife's a Buffalo fan. They're not classic rivals. They haven't had any real storied matchups, and you know, both known more for losing than winning.
Eagles just won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
This is why
I'm embarrassed to work with you. You don't even know sports. You come on and you make comments about losing.
Both known more for losing than they are known for winning. Of course, I know Philadelphia got lucky a couple years ago.
Oh, God. The Dodger fan is trying to tell me about losing. Like, I have a Super Bowl. What do you have?
We got 19.
You're trying to count down the seconds to get out of the segment because you knew it was going to blow up on you. You knew it was going to blow up on you. All right, where are we at? Where are we at? Football Fridays brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play at Oaks and Xfinity. All right. All right, do us a favor. If you get an opportunity, download the radio.com app. This is a message for the billions. If you haven't done so already, download the radio.com app now. Tune in to your boys, Jolo and Dibs, and catch all the latest Niners news, interviews, and updates. We need to let you know that what's coming up in the game is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Joe Buck, he's on the call. We're going to talk to him about the baseball scandal and the NFC Championship game. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you and your family. The best way to tell if it's a cold or the flu is by taking your temperature, and no one does that better than the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Learn more at Exergen.com. Don't worry about the spread. How do you see it playing out? Who wins? Game flow.
I think the game flow is high scoring, and I think Kansas City wins rather handily, and I've thought it the whole week. But the more I've spoken with old Deuce, the former draft pick by the New Orleans Saints, Lorenzo Neal, he's in a different church, he's in a different pew, and he's got me worried because on the surface, I look at Kansas City's offense and I say, I don't care how much Derrick Henry runs roughshod, when Casey has the ball, they're going to be able to score. I think Kansas City wins a fairly high-scoring game, but Lowe's been, he's been saying other things, he's been speaking the truth, and so he's got me a little bit more teetering. My confidence on Monday was Kansas City 38-17, something on that along those lines. But Lowe's got me swaying a little bit.
Where are you at? Because you got to figure, and let's be honest, yeah. Niner fans are going to be watching this game first.
Right,
this is the
right,
first game.
Right.
So you're thinking to yourself, if we can handle our business later this evening, we are going to end up 2 weeks from now facing whoever wins this game. So quietly, at least inside, subconsciously, you're rooting for someone. So right. Two-parter, who do you think wins it? And also, if you're a Niner fan, who are you rooting for to win it?
Man, this game is, you know, at first I was like, I was with Dibs. I thought Kansas City should roll these guys. But if you look at history, they played already. Mahomes, you know, they played, lost by two. I think that the biggest thing, can Kansas City hold them under 180 total rushing yards? That's what Henry, that's what reverses, that's total rushing. Because if you can't, I don't see you winning this game, because that means you're running. That means you're controlling the clock. And that also means, Joe, in my opinion, that Mahomes has to throw. If he goes for 190, if they had 200 yards rushing, that means if they get 200 yards rushing, he's got to throw for 420 at minimum. He's got to throw for 400 minimum to win. So if he doesn't, if they rush for 200 yards, if Mahomes don't throw for 400, they don't win the game. You just don't win the game. That means you're going to have over 400 yards throwing the ball. And can he do it? Absolutely. Every 100 yards, you got to have 120 to 140 passing yards more than rushing. That's how big the rushing game is. And I know that no one in the league, this Henry guy, what he's done, 377 yards. He's thrown more than Jimmy G. He's thrown more than friggin' the rest of the quarterbacks except Mahomes in the playoffs. Think about what he's thrown for, run for, 377 yards in 2 weeks. I have not seen anybody close to this guy.
Let's go to the phones. He'll be on the call for Sunday's NFC Championship game on Fox between the Niners and the Packers. One of the best play-by-play men in the business, Joe Buck, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Joe, we know you're busy, so let's start by saying thank you. We appreciate you coming on the show today. First thing out of the gate, I was always curious. I'm watching you and Troy at Lambeau Field last week, and my wife's asking me, why are they all bundled up to call the game? And I'm like, well, they're not inside. The window's open. So how happy are you that you get to call the NFC Championship game in this type of weather?
Well, I'm happy anytime I get to go to San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Clara, anywhere in that area at all. I mean, I live in St. Louis, so right now there's a winter storm watch, and they're going to get ice and snow, and I'm missing all that. So, you know, yes, it's great. And I think most people believe that we show up to these games, especially like at Lambeau, and we're in some hermetically sealed broadcast booth, and it's open, wide open, and it's cold up at the top of that stadium when it's 16 degrees. So I was freezing my ass off last week.
We'll allow it. It's been pretty cold here too. It's about 44 this morning, and
that's
boy,
okay, that's fine.
Right.
Layup.
Absolutely miserable for us Californians. When you look at this matchup, what's the one storyline that maybe is the most intriguing for you heading into it?
Well, I think kind of the least intriguing is the first matchup. I think you can pretty much throw that away. I just think Green Bay will be better. I mean, they basically didn't show up in that game. I remember that was a game that was theoretically going to be on Fox, and it got flexed. And we had done a game, Cowboys at Patriots, and we were all sitting in a bar in Boston as I'm dodging people telling me how much I hate the Red Sox. We're watching this like, oh, my God. I mean, this game was just terrible. And you're thinking, man, they flexed into this game. So I think Green Bay will be better. I think it's fascinating, at least from the Packers' standpoint, trying to figure out where the holes are in this 49er defense. And there really aren't many, if any. I just think this is the most well-balanced team that's left of the Final Four. Even Kansas City, that's got that dynamic offense, nobody's got the defense that San Francisco has. And Green Bay basically has two weapons other than Aaron Rodgers. They have Aaron Jones at running back, and they have Davante Adams at receiver. And it astounds me that you know that Adams is basically the only target, yet they're able to scheme him open because of the personnel they're in. So I think there's going to be a lot of cat and mouse going on between Matt LaFleur offensively and Robert Saleh defensively, trying to figure out a way to, you know, who wins that little battle. Because if you shut those two guys down, I just don't know that Green Bay has the weapons or the necessary numbers to get it done.
I want to follow up on something you brought up there regarding Patriot fans. We were talking yesterday about how you were going to join us today, and our Chilton Auto Body text line goes off with how many people feel that you just hate the San Francisco Giants, given that your father and your ties to St. Louis and everything. We were trying to explain to people, Joe Buck gets this everywhere he goes. I think I heard you on with Colin Cowherd a few years ago trying to explain that literally every fan base thinks you are out to get them. Is that the case?
Yeah, because and it's simple. You know, I think it's mainly a baseball thing. There aren't national announcers that are, I think, baseball-wise, loved by all fan bases. And I know Vin Scully is regarded as the best to ever do it. And I remember him talking to my dad about it from back in the 80s, getting, you know, but it was handwritten letters. And, you know, you hate my team. It's because all year long for 160-plus games, you've got your hometown guys doing the call. And San Francisco's got, I think, of all the local broadcasts, I think they're the best. And I've said that many times before. And those guys are living and dying with the Giants. And so are the fans. And then we show up, and it's my job to get excited when somebody hits the home run against the Giants. And the Giants fans haven't heard that all year. They think I don't like their team, which is ludicrous. When that team was winning every other year, that stadium was rocking, and it made my job easy. And I would say go back to the Travis Ishikawa home run to win the NLCS against the Cardinals and ask yourself if that sounds like somebody that's rooting against the Giants. In fact, people in St. Louis think I root against the Cardinals because I'm not doing it for the Cardinals. It's just it's a simple kind of silly, dumb thing, and I don't try to win that battle anymore.
I hear you, Joe. I hear you, brother. Hey, when you're looking at this game and you think about the matchup in the trenches, offensively trenches, defensive trench, what team do you give the edge? Which offensive line, defensive line? How are you viewing that matchup?
I think it's amazing how the 49ers went through the year, you know, without at different stretches their two top tackles and didn't seem to miss a beat. And now, you know, they get the number one seed, so they get the extra week and they get the extra rest, and they're at full go now. They get Person back at guard. I think they are the better offensive line, and I think defensive line, that's certainly the case. The front seven for the 49ers is fantastic, and I don't think you have to go too much past the Minnesota Vikings to just ask them, you know, six sacks in a game last week and just a total shutdown of the run game by the Vikings and the offense in general, setting 49er playoff records. And it's been over 50 games that they've played in the postseason. So to me, you look at this game and it's going to have to be Aaron Rodgers playing out of his head. And that's certainly possible to keep the Packers in the ball game. But at home, with the way they played last week, San Francisco, they're going to be a really, really tough team to beat.
Joe Buck here on 95.7 The Game. 49ers have a couple of divergent personalities and elite players in George Kittle and Richard Sherman. How much do you think those players and just the way they carry themselves and their behaviors will really propel this 49er team into the national spotlight?
Well, I think the fact that George Kittle's more excited about blocking than he is making great catches, if that's true, I think everybody, if you got the ability of George Kittle, you know, wants to be the star of the game, and stars don't happen at tight end blocking. But that's just kind of the overall team mentality that he seems to have. He's the kind of guy you want around. He's a larger-than-life personality. And, you know, speaking as a representative of a network that just paid a lot of money to the WWE, we'll take him anytime. And Richard Sherman has just been, you know, a great. And of all the players that are active, he's now tied with Tremont Williams for interceptions in his career. He's got three now in the postseason, one of which came against Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's still at his age, coming off the injury that he had with the Achilles, is somebody that can shut down one side of the field. There aren't many of those guys left. And whatever he's lost in, you know, because of age, a little bit of athleticism, whatever it might be, I think he makes up for with his mind. I think he's brilliantly, wickedly smart, and I think that probably factors in more than any other part of his weaponry is his brain. That's what makes him so good.
Jimmy Garoppolo has spent the better portion of this year trying to convince Niner fans who were on the fence that he is, in fact, the guy. And he's done a great job winning over the Bay. But when you step outside, I think nationally, people still look at him and think, all right, great defense, big contract. He's made some plays, but we haven't seen the Russell Wilson-like moments. We haven't seen the Aaron Rodgers-like moments. I'm sure you're asked your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo all the time. What do you think about him as a quarterback?
Well, he doesn't need to do those moments. I mean, last week, I thought Russell Wilson basically had the Seahawks, if they get the ball back one more time, in a position to win the game by himself. And that's not what Jimmy Garoppolo has to do. Jimmy Garoppolo has to just keep doing what he's done. And whether he wins over fans or not, or whether he goes to Pro Bowls or not, or whether he's, you know, saluted on somebody's power ranking as you know, a top 10 quarterback, shouldn't matter. And reading the quotes from Kyle Shanahan, that's been the case with him. He doesn't, as long as they're winning, what they ask him to do is enough. And I'm sure he's not worried about it. He got paid. I just think of how he came into the season coming off the torn ACL. I remember back in the early part of the year, people were watching him in the preseason going, oh my God, you know, what happened? The glass slipper doesn't fit anymore. And, you know, he didn't have a great first game, I don't believe, but then had a really good second game, if my memory serves me right. And then he's just been solid and sometimes spectacular, and that's all they've needed. They're 14-3 and one win away from going to the Super Bowl. That's pretty damn good.
No question. Joe, when you look at a position that doesn't get a lot of notoriety or the face time, fullback position, Kyle Juszczyk, what has he meant to the San Francisco 49ers run game, in your opinion?
Well, just so you know, and this will put a smile on your face, Troy is doing some package on the different ways they use him, and something we don't really do a lot of that. I feel like Sunday Night Football does a lot of that, but just kind of one of those, can you find Juszczyk and where is he and the different ways that they employ him in their offense. So another guy that suffered injury and wasn't available and now is back and ready to go at the right time of the year. So a big part of what they do, and kind of a three-headed, maybe four-headed, gosh, five-headed monster at running back, and they spread it around. They all seem to do a little bit different things and have different looks to them, and they're all fresh. I know Mostert dealt with the calf last week, but they can come at you from a lot of directions, and Kyle Shanahan's been an offensive coordinator for 9 years before he got there, and I think he knows how to put all these pieces into play. So from all that skill that we just talked about, all the way up to the guy who's calling it, it's been a great year, and should continue.
Speaking of Troy Aikman, what was that moment like at Lambeau last Sunday when he was watching Jimmy Johnson get told back in the studio that David Baker was letting him know he was going to be going to the Hall of Fame? That seemed to be a really emotional moment for Johnson, obviously, and for Troy as well. What was that like?
Well, Troy and Jimmy go back to Jimmy trying to recruit him out of high school in Oklahoma. I think Jimmy was at Oklahoma State at the time, and then they kept intersecting, and they end up in the NFL together. And they were not always on the same page, and they were not always best friends. And Jimmy is a different guy now than, at least according to Troy, and who would know better than he was back when he was coaching. He's the fun-loving guy now. He was anything but back then. But they butted heads. They're two very strong personalities, but they've really grown close. And I think Troy credits Jimmy with putting the pieces together to win those Super Bowls, all three, even though Jimmy gets credit only for two. And that gets Troy Aikman into the Hall of Fame. So I think it all goes back to Jimmy for not only Troy, but for Michael and Emmett and Moose and all those guys. And, those first three guys I mentioned are all in the Hall of Fame. Jimmy wasn't until that moment. And I think it was a lot of Troy's athletic life and regular life just kind of flashing before his eyes when Jimmy was told. And I thought Jimmy's reaction was phenomenal. I mean, he literally, I've rarely seen somebody choked up, but there was a moment there where I thought he needed air. I mean, it was a genuine thing, and I'm glad that the Hall of Fame and David Baker's doing it that way, or at least did for he and Bill Cowher.
Joe Buck here on 95.7 The Game. The other massive story going on right now is this MLB cheating scandal with the Houston Astros maybe using electronic signaling, certainly banging on trash cans. What do you make of that story and how MLB can try to pick up the pieces for what is becoming a real scandal?
I'm just stunned that, you know, any of that could go on, considering how much player movement there is, and somebody who was well aware of it in the Astros bullpen pitching one day could have very well have been in the opposing bullpen the next day, and it took this long to come out from something that happened in 2017. So I don't, nobody's denying it, you know, at least with regard to the trash can. MLB said they don't have enough evidence to suggest that there was any electronic stuff going on, but I have a tough time believing that it didn't advance from banging on a trash can to something more as the 2 years went by. So I don't know. I just don't think the final chapter on that's been written with regard to the Houston Astros. I find it hard to believe that in this day and age of, you know, who's smarter than the next team, that they're the only team guilty of this kind of stuff. But again, I mean, there's just too much player movement for that stuff to stay hidden forever. And I think this could be, unfortunately, just a tip of the iceberg.
Do you think Major League Baseball should get involved and maybe strip them of that 2017 World Series win?
I don't know. I think that gets a little too messy. And then you just award it to, what, the Dodgers? And I don't know that they would feel great about that, or it would feel like, you know, the typical way you win a World Series, but, or just take it away and let it sit there kind of vacated, I guess. But I think the punishments were appropriate because of what came after, which was, you know, Jim Crane. I just didn't see how those guys, and A.J. Hinch is one of my favorite people to talk to and a friend and somebody in the game, but, you know, for him to look the other way and let this stuff go on, it just strikes at the very core of sportsmanship, and as corny as that sounds, I mean, it just feels like it's so far across the line that those punishments were just, and then they ended up losing their jobs, and it's going to take a while for them to get hired back.
Joe, one broadcasting question before we let you go. You've done the World Series, you've done the Super Bowl, now you're doing the U.S. Open and USGA events. Is there one sport or one event or maybe something non-sports still out there that you want to do with your broadcasting career?
No. In fact, you know, I'm so content that, and I truly believe this, if somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know what, we're going another direction for this weekend's game, that's fine. I've already done 100 times more than I ever thought I would, getting in, watching this, watching my dad do it, watching my dad try national TV in his mid-60s in the early 90s and that not go well, and see how tough that job can be professionally and personally. And to get to do all this stuff, I'm not looking for the next thing. I'm a huge hockey fan. I live in St. Louis. I've been a Blues season ticket holder my whole life. And that was a thrill watching them win the Stanley Cup. But I don't have any desire to call hockey. It's too fast and the names are too long.
He's on the call for Sunday's NFC Championship game on Fox between the Niners and the Packers. He's one of the best in the business. Joe Buck, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Joe, we know you're busy, but it means a lot to us. Thank you so much. Enjoy the call this weekend. Hopefully we can do it again down the road.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
See, he gets it everywhere.
See?
He gets it everywhere. There are a million things I could take away from that, but the first one is he tells a story without even being prompted about trying to dodge people in Boston when he's out because they all think he's out to get him, and he lays out a perfect reason why. Listen to Kruk and Kipe all season long. You love them. They support the team the whole way. The second you get to the playoffs, you get a guy who's coming in who's trying to be down the middle. He's trying to present everything. He gets excited about all the big moments, and when one of those big moments isn't yours, all of a sudden, you think he's out to get you. He's not. And it's great that he goes right to his pocket and he goes, how about that Ishikawa home run?
Right.
Everyone think I was against the Giants then. I bet he's got one of those He's probably so dialed in. He's got one of those for every single fan base. Every time someone comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, you hate the Detroit Lions, he can probably pick up a game where he called a Lions game and had a great call for the Lions.
Yeah, remember
he probably
that,
deals with it so much.
Remember that Stafford QB sneak I called for Detroit? He lost his mind. And it's just, I think it's the nature of baseball, as he said, and also the fact that when you get to that point, you get to that level, and he's only 50 years old, by the way. It feels like he's been doing it.
That's it?
50 years old, younger than I am. I was just looking at the good old Wikipedia. He's been doing MLB since 96, so 24, 25 years as a national voice. He started so young, and some people kind of hold it against him that he, you know, maybe he got the job because his dad was Jack Buck, who was a legend.
His dad and being Jack Buck's son probably got him in the door, but he had to stay there.
Right.
If you're not good, you're not going to spend three decades calling Super Bowls, World Series, U.S. Opens, championship games, the marquee game every single Sunday afternoon on Fox. Like, you don't get that. Like, the lineage can help you. It can get you in the door. It can make that part easier, but you've got to stay. You've got to be able to show the work ethic and the talent to stay there and stick around and continue to grow. There's no way he gets to do all this for this many years just because of who he is. He might get an opportunity because he is who he is or who he's related to, but it's because of who he is that gets him to where he is today. Damn.
Absolutely.
With any broadcasters you didn't like, any that you thought were out to get you?
No, I think that it's awesome, though. If you have Linager, you have parents or whatever, and put you in a position for success, and then you gotta stay there. I mean, you look at owners and different guys who own teams. You look at the 49ers.
Good point, Jed York.
Good, that young, have owner team be that way and be in that situation. He failed miserably. And now look how he's give him time, and now look how successful this young man is being. So I think if people look at it that way, oh, he got an opportunity. So what? Opportunities never lost. It's given to someone else. He's had to fight like heck to stay there. Yes, he had an advantage, but who cares? That's what life is.
That's right. That's right. You look at the other side of the bay where the son of the former owner hasn't had as much success, and it's up to Mark Davis to make the adjustments right that Jed York has made. And Jed York only gets as much credit as he deserves in what they've done so far. And I think the best thing he's done is put the people in position to do their jobs and step out of the way. And that's kind of what Mark Davis is trying to do with Mayock and Gruden. And now it's incumbent upon them to be successful, and then Mark can get the credit accordingly.
Jed getting no love whatsoever. Probably the one who's being treated the worst in this whole run right now. Because when it all fell apart, he was
absolutely
public enemy number one.
No question.
But now when it's all successful, you want to point to everybody else. He was still on top when they failed, and he's on top when they're succeeding. Y'all don't have to start wearing Jed York jerseys, but you do have to realize he made some very important adjustments. And without him, you're not back here. All right? Those are good hires. Those are hires that were significantly questioned when they happened. And now Lynch is an executive of the year, according to the Pro Football Writers Association.
That's a huge gamble. And you heard everyone say, that's a huge gamble. Guy goes from the field to the broadcast booth to a GM. And it just goes to show you on the job training, you let him have the job, and here he has the aptitude and had the knowledge to make sure that he's going to be pretty good. He surrounded himself with good people. And John Lynch, you're right, Joe, for Jed York to make that type of an investment in a guy that's never been a GM, that speaks volumes.
Dylan in Boston. Dylan, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. How you doing? What do you got?
Not too bad. I just wanted to call and completely disagree about going to the Super Bowl is just as good as winning it, or not as bad. As a 49er fan, walking around knowing that Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl does not make me feel any better that we made it there.
All right, appreciate the phone call. Conversation from earlier, and which is more devastating, losing the championship game or losing the Super Bowl? Take calls on that, 888-957-9570. We have got a lot to get to in the championship rounds coming up. The big show, Mike Holmgren set to join us at 9:30. Your thoughts? We're going to open it up for the billions. What's your biggest concern heading into the championship game Sunday? 888-957-9570. It's been a little too light this week. It's been a little too comfortable, a little too casual. Everyone's excited. You see the 7.5-point favorite threat. I don't think there's enough concern. So let's see what's out there. 888-957-9570. Your biggest concern for the Niners heading into Sunday evening. Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.